This week, a new Asian regional free trade negotiation was proposed with the aim of signing a deal by 2015. We were discussing it just the other day on Breakfast. It's called the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, and it's being driven by 16 countries within ASEAN. But when it comes to trade blocs, there is more than one vision on the table, and many of these same countries are already working on another trade deal called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP, which includes the US, but not China. The next round of these negotiations kicks off in 2 weeks in New Zealand. But there's disquiet in Australia from a number of sectors about what it could mean. And that includes our cane growers, as Cathy Van Extel reports.
Having lost an opportunity nearly a decade ago to expand access into the US market, the Australian sugar industry is lobbying the Australian government to stand firm in these latest free trade talks. Alf Cristado is the chair of the Australian Sugar Industry Alliance.
I think people have to stand up and be counted at some point in time. We don't believe any agreement should be done without sugar included, otherwise you cannot genuinely call it a TPP in the true sense.
There are recent reports in the US that a senior trade official has told sugar producers there that the government does not plan to allow Australia to export any additional sugar to the United States under the proposed Trans-Pacific Partnership. Sugar's not the only sticking point for the Australian government in the long-running negotiations over the TPP. Many of the issues hotly debated in the Australia-US FTA are back on the table. Dr. Patricia Ranold is a research fellow at the University of Sydney and the convener of the Australia Fair Trade and Investment Network.
The US wants to extend the rights of patent holders on medicines, which will make medicines more expensive for longer and delay cheaper generic drugs coming onto the market. They also want to interfere with the right of governments to regulate medicines prices, as the Australian government does through our pharmaceutical benefits scheme. They're also seeking expanded copyright at the expense of consumers, particularly on the internet. And the most controversial one for Australia is that they want to have the right of a single foreign investor to sue a government for damages as part of the agreement. This is called investor-state disputes.
Australia is currently fending off a challenge to plain cigarette packaging legislation from Philip Morris International under the terms of a 1993 Hong Kong investment treaty that included an investor-state dispute provision. Philip Morris moved the headquarters of its Australian subsidiary to Hong Kong after losing its case against the Australian government in the High Court. Dr. Matthew Rimmer, an Australian Research Council Future Fellow and Associate Professor at the ANU College of Law, says Australia's opposition to investor-state dispute provisions is about national sovereignty.
It is very much of the view that government regulation should not be able to be challenged by foreign corporations under such a parallel system of arbitration. And I guess the Australian government wants to ensure that it retains national sovereignty, particularly in relation to making critical decisions about health, the environment and workers' rights.
In 2010, the Gillard government ruled out investor-state relation provisions in future trade agreements, to the disappointment of the Australian Chamber of Commerce and Industry. It argues that Australian companies need that option. Brian Clark is Director of Trade and International Affairs.
Where you have access to developing countries that don't necessarily have a strong rule of law history, and increasingly as we have trade with China and India, Indonesia for that matter, a number of the countries in the Middle East, you wouldn't want to have a situation where the ability for Australian firms to protect their own investments has been limited because of the stance that the government's taking at the present time.
Do you see why the Australian government is being cautious on this front?
Well, we certainly understand their defensive interest in it, but their stance in their trade policy doesn't abrogate that responsibility or liability for that matter. We have all this precedent of existing investor-state arrangements, so leaving it out of new and future free trade agreement simply encourages business engineering to take place so that the companies who have an interest in that will take advantage of the other pre-existing arrangements.
Is this a deal breaker?
I think it probably is. It'd be interesting to see, but from what we can hear, it's not only the Trans-Pacific Partnership where this is impacting, it's also the status of the Australian-Korea Free Trade Agreement, the negotiations on Australia-Japan Free Trade Agreement, so it's popping up in a number of places.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership involves 11 countries, the US, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Mexico, Chile, Peru, Brunei, Malaysia, Vietnam and Singapore, with Japan considering joining. Matthew Rimmer says beyond the scope of trade and tariffs, the TPP is part of a geopolitical strategy.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership has also really been deployed by the United States Trade Representative as a means of curtailing or containing the influence of China. So one kind of perception of the Trans-Pacific Partnership is that it's a kind of a geopolitical weapon in an ongoing trade battle with China.
The Trans-Pacific Partnership's been described by its proponents as setting up the architecture for a 21st century agreement which other countries can then join. Patricia Ranald has serious doubts.
Our concern is that it's not going to be good architecture. It could be bad architecture if it's based on some of the demands that the US is making.
The next round of TPP negotiations will be held in New Zealand in December. Matthew Rimmer says the two-year process to date has been widely criticised for lacking transparency.
There's been a great concern that industry groups have been able to use the secrecy of the Trans-Pacific Partnership to introduce measures by stealth that would not otherwise sustain public scrutiny. So there's been a great deal of controversy about the secrecy, lack of due process and lack of public participation.
That's Dr. Matthew Rimmer from the ANU College of Law, ending that report by Cathy Van Extel. And countries involved in the Trans-Pacific Partnership talks, TPP talks, who attended the East Asian Summit in Cambodia this week, set an informal deadline, the end of 2013, to complete the TPP deal. You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 21 past 8.